The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Thursday, June 5th, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. In agricultural news, two U.S. senators have put a hold on a farm bill revote. Also, a number of U.S. beef processors say they are willing to label products headed to South Korea with the age of the cattle at the time of slaughter. We'll have these and other stories this half hour. And AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser will be by with the latest on weather conditions. It's all on the Thursday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL AM 580, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Let's check settlement prices Thursday afternoon in Kansas City. July wheat settling at 814.5, up 24.5. September 827.75, up 23.75. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, the settlement 785.5, up 32.5. September 801.75, up 32.25. December 824.5, up 32. July corn 643.25, up 28.75. September 656, up 28.25. December 670.75, up 27.75. March of 2009, 685.25, up 27. July beans 1452, up 63. August 1454.25, up 59.75. September 1438.5, up 54.75. November 1432, up 52.25. July soybean meal 373.50, up 13.50. July soybean oil 62.65, up 218. June live cattle 94.50, up 25. August feeders 112.82.5, down 90. And June lean hogs 75.32.5, down 5 on the day. And those are the settlement prices Thursday from Kansas City and Chicago. Let's take a look at outside markets for you. July crude oil at 127.95, up 5.65. August 128.20, up 5.52. July ethanol 233.3, up 5.9. July natural gas 12.55, up 12.6. July RBOB 333.24, up 13.73. Silver contract for July, the settlement there, 1717, up 23 cents. The August gold contract settling at 875.50, down $8.30. The U.S. dollar at 73.02 is off almost 39 cents, make it a little more than 39 cents. And the S&P 500 at 792.74 is up just a click or two under 26 points. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight, he says in northwestern Illinois, mostly cloudy, with a chance of thunderstorms after midnight. Elsewhere, partly cloudy, breezy and mild, lows ranging between 69 and 74 degrees. Tomorrow, in northern and west-central Illinois, mostly cloudy with showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere in Illinois and in northern and western Indiana, increasing cloudiness with showers and thunderstorms arriving during the afternoon. In southeastern Indiana, mostly sunny, windy and humid in all sections, highs ranging from 80 in far northwestern Illinois to 94 in far southern Indiana. An outbreak of severe thunderstorms with damaging winds, large hail, and tornadoes is possible Friday afternoon and evening. The best chance of severe weather appears to be across northern and central Illinois and much of northwestern Indiana. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Good afternoon, Dan.
Hi, Dave.
I just want to sort of get out of your way, because when prices move like this, it's really good to have a technician on board to help us sort it all out. We did break out of a wedge formation in the beans. We made new contract highs, certainly in the corn today, all across the corn picks, with the July of 2009 making all-time new contract highs. Pick one or the other. We're going to get to both of them and start looking at them from a technical standpoint, please.
Well, I think I want to preface it, though, with fundamentals. And today, of course, was the magic date of preventative planting. And I think this is the date now that everybody kind of looked around and we saw these heavy rain activities that we saw through the Corn Belt and weather forecasts calling for more. And everybody, I think, began to accept the fact or acknowledge the fact that acreage levels may not be as high as what they were hoping for as much as just a week ago, let alone 3-4 weeks ago. And yield prospects are significantly reduced because of the lateness of the crop. So I do think something planting, preventative planting date here at June 5th kind of had something to do with that. I think that's kind of like the 50-yard line, so to speak, that it made everybody realize what kind of conditions our crop is at this point. Technically, you probably couldn't ask for, if you're bullish and you're wanting prices to go up, and I know there's a whole bunch out there like to see prices go down, so it depends upon which perspective you come from. But from a bullish point of view, you probably couldn't ask for more beautiful chart action to argue your case that prices are going higher. We had pretty good closes yesterday, which kind of indicated it was a warm-up day, that today was going to be a good day to the upside. And, of course, we came in here overnight. We saw good advances, and they came right out of the chute, and we did nothing but build all day long. I think starting with December corn, first thing you want to notice is we do have a chart gap on the pit session chart with the overnight trade sharply higher, and we maintain those gains on the open. If you use that as a measuring gap, which is a halfway point off of the low that we had here back on May 29th of 599.75, the midpoint of this chart gap that was left today is about 647. So that's roughly 47.25 cents. You add that to the midpoint, and you get a near-term upside price objective about 694. So that's what your chart gap people are going to be kind of reaching for here over the next couple of weeks, the way this market performed. If you look at the a little broader, bigger picture on the electronic trade chart, there's been a broadening wedge formation developing since early April. This is a pennant formation, but in reverse, where the apex started here in early April, and we had a series of higher highs and lower lows. So we had a broadening wedge formation in the development. The base of that wedge formation is about 63 cents outside or inside a range of what we call was the contract high of 655.5, and the low, which was back in mid-April, about 592.25. Since we did break out of that base today with this solid close above 655, that tees up a longer-term technical move of 718.75, and what you do is you add this base width of this broadening wedge formation to the contract high here of 655.5 to come up with that objective. So that's a little longer term. So there's two kind of upside objectives based upon the corn chart here. One is this based upon the chart gap today on the regular session chart, and then this broadening wedge formation on the electronics chart.
Before we get to the soybeans and get your technicals there, let's also remind people that we do have crop production and WASDE reports out next week. You mentioned people to coming to grips with less acreage and less yield. Is the talk that USDA will come to grips with those next week?
Well, I don't see any reason why they would really change the acreage level, because they really don't have no valid countervailing type information, really. I mean, yes, we know we got problems out here, but to go out and their acreage number was a surveyed number that they did back last winter. It was an intentions number. I think everybody acknowledges, and probably USDA even acknowledges, is that there's probably, since that intentions number, some things have changed. But so I don't really look for them to change that number any. They may take the liberty to lower the yield based upon this slowness of planting. We'll just kind of have to wait and see whether or not they would take that liberty to lower the yield. But whether or not they do that or not, I don't know if it makes any difference. The market is working an acreage level probably not much bigger than 86, if not maybe a little smaller due to the planting problems we've had. And I think they're probably looking at more of a realistic yield somewhere down around 150, something that we've had over the past three or four years.
Go ahead and take us through the soybean technicals, please.
Soybeans also have a couple different points. If you want to use today's chart gap on the regular session chart and you use that as a midpoint gap off of last week's low of 1310, that puts a 1479 number up on the table. That would penetrate the early March contract high of 1466 on the pit trade. So your chart gap people will be targeting this 1479 objective here on the shorter term. Longer term, I guess I can take a look at using the consolidation or the congestion phase between this 1306 and 1375 that we had basically since mid-May or so, breaking out of that congestion, using that as a measuring congestion off of the late April low of 1164 and three quarters, and you can then maybe stretch the number all the way to 1516 as a technical target. So those are a couple numbers to shoot for in the short run. 1437 was a number, and I see today we got within 4 cents of that. We went to 1433. So for all practical purposes, that 1437 number was attained. So the next one here is going to be this 1479. And then the next one here would be something around 1516. Now, this is strictly what the chart people will be playing for based upon today's closes.
Thank you much, Dan.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. He is in Decatur, Illinois, and he joins us every Thursday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
In agricultural news, Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says, quote, "We're in for the fight of our lives when it comes to a series of Grocery Manufacturers Association ads against ethanol. The GMA campaign says ethanol is responsible for higher grocery bills. But Grassley also says that several agribusinesses in Iowa do not support the GMA claim. In Grassley's words, there is dissension within the GMA. Grocery Manufacturers Association officials declined to comment directly on Grassley's claim. The Senate is likely to hold another roll call vote on the completed farm bill after two GOP members panned a Democrat plan for a voice vote. Tom Colburn of Oklahoma and Jim DeMint of South Carolina want recorded votes, and they have placed a hold on the farm bill. It will now take a cloture vote to permit further action on the measure. Several U.S. beef processors say they are willing to label shipment to South Korea with the age of the cattle at the time of slaughter. Stuart Doan has more.
The offer by Tyson Foods, JBS Swift, National Beef Packing, and Smithfield Beef Group to voluntarily implement a labeling program for up to 120 days is designed to help ensure the reopening of the South Korean market. Chandler Keyes is Vice President of Government and Industry Relations at JBS Swift.
Anytime you need transitional periods, and once we get beef back in the stores and we really have an honest dialogue with the Korean public about the safety of our product and try to get hysteria, anti-Americanism, and politics out of it, I think we'll be fine.
Keyes said the beef processors discussed with USDA officials over the weekend.
How can we work with the Koreans to transition to help them get to where they need to be?
According to industry estimates, 90% of U.S. beef exports to Korea would be derived from cattle younger than 30 months of age. Seoul plans to turn away beef imports from cattle more than 30 months old. Stuart Doan, Washington.
Today marks the formal cutoff date for late planting corn in most of the Midwest, and numerous producers and insurance adjusters are having discussions on whether or not to plant corn. Over the next 3 weeks, adjusters must weigh whether it's practical to plant, but crop insurance sources suggest it's still too early for many growers to bail out on their original planting choices. Weather over the next 10 days will be crucial. The UN Food Crisis Summit in Rome is issuing a statement today in which nations will commit to eliminating hunger and to securing food for all. But disagreements over the impact of biofuels on food prices is threatening to deprive the summit of a forceful final declaration. The U.S. has been under fire from several countries for diverting an increasing share of corn to ethanol. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says the U.S. is not getting credit for being the world's largest food aid donor. Senate Democrats and U.S. labor leaders held a press conference yesterday unveiling new legislation on how the U.S. should negotiate trade deals. Ohio Democrat Sherrod Brown is chief sponsor of the bill.
This legislation will mandate a review of all existing trade agreements and will require the president to submit renegotiation plans for those agreements before negotiating any more new trade agreements.
Brown says the bill also requires Congress to certify negotiating objectives and to vote on deals before the U.S. signs them.
The Trade Act sets out criteria for a new negotiating process, one that would move away from the fundamentally flawed fast track policy and return power to Congress when considering our nation's trade pacts.
To date, no Republicans have signed on to the legislation. Hundreds of Argentine truckers blocked roadways yesterday from all traffic to demand an end to a nearly three-month standoff between the farm sector and government over a new sliding-scale export tax system. The government says it will not negotiate with farmers as long as they continue striking. Monsanto says it is establishing a $10 million grant aimed at doubling corn, soybean, and cotton yields by 2030 and to increase research on wheat and rice. The money will be used to develop better seeds that reduce required water, energy, and land resources by one-third. And USDA has ordered Tyson to stop using its antibiotic-free label by June 18th. Tyson says the deadline is unrealistic after announcing earlier in the week that it would voluntarily withdraw the label. Tyson says it has several months of chicken labeled antibiotic-free in storage. Competitors to Tyson, including Purdue Farms and Sanderson Farms, say Tyson should immediately remove from grocery shelves any product bearing the label. USDA says Tyson chicken is not antibiotic-free, as it claimed in obtaining label approval. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Baisdefer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us now with Cash Grain Analysis is Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing in Lexington, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bill.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Today is Preventive Planting Day. What does it all mean?
Well, really, there's probably a little bit of misconception about that out in the country, but it really boils down to two things. One, if you planted corn, if you've got corn already in the ground and you've got it underwater or whatever and need to replant, you still have your original date and you still are covered 100% on that as far as crop insurance. Number two is if you haven't planted corn and you're going to plant it, it's a percent less coverage every day. So if you plant 5 days from now, you'll have 95% of your coverage instead of 100%. So it's really kind of a fair coverage from that standpoint. And that's really what, and then you can get into the more complicated things if you have to plant beans after corn and that, but there again, you can plant beans instead of the corn that's already in the ground and have 100% coverage on that. So there's several options that a farmer needs to look at, and he should talk to his agent and make sure that he knows what his options are. Now I have a chance to do some analysis on it.
What did you make of the run-up in futures and the fact that bases really didn't move that much with it?
Well, we're on all-time highs here as far as the corn goes, and I think a person probably needs to take advantage of that. The cash market probably isn't going to. We saw a pretty good basis improvement on corn over the last 7 days, but we're probably going to lose some of that with the run-up on the future side because that will cause some corn to move. And, I think you take advantage of it and make a few sales. I don't think you have to get overly aggressive here. We still like the idea of buying put options and put some floors in and keep bringing those up as we move higher. On the soybean side, we saw a good basis improvement in some areas over the last week, and I think that the soybeans seem to still have some pretty good demand base there.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you.
Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing. It's Feast Day of St. Boniface, patron saint of brewers. On this day in agricultural history in 1856, the first vegetarian community was established in Kansas by Henry Club, the leading advocate of vegetarianism in the U.S. Club wrote that his colony would preserve the principles of vegetarianism and would induce thousands of wavering citizens to, quote, adopt a system of diet so highly conducive to their happiness and well-being. The dream colony was named Octagon City. In 1876, foil-wrapped bananas were sold for a dime at the Centennial Exposition in Philadelphia. Bananas became a popular treat for the first time in the U.S. when word spread about how delicious they were. In 1877, the U.S. Congress taxed oleomargarine to protect the dairy industry. The Margarine Act of 1886 was in response to a judicial ruling saying oleomargarine could not be banned from import or production. And in 1883, James and William Horlick developed the process to dehydrate milk, and they received a patent for it. They called the new powder malted milk. The original idea was to produce a milk product for babies and invalids that could be shipped without spoiling. And that's this day in agricultural history. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser. Good afternoon, Ed.
Good afternoon, Dave.
We are hearing reports from the rain yesterday about flooding in places like Nebraska, Iowa, Indiana, and Ohio. Are they going to get any relief in the next several days or so?
Not enough. First off, going out to Nebraska and Iowa and neighboring parts of Minnesota and Wisconsin, more showers and thunderstorms are expected out that way today. Some of them could be severe with large hail damaging winds and tornadoes and more downpours. And the weather pattern setting up to where I think there's going to be frequent rain in the northwestern Midwest during the coming week. So not good there. Heavy rain fell during the last 24 hours over portions of northeastern Illinois, northern Indiana, and into northwest Ohio as well. More showers and thunderstorms will occur from time to time over the coming week, so net drying is not likely there, although I think it won't be as wet as the northwestern Midwest. As you go farther south into the Ohio Valley, a little more opportunity for dry weather, but not absolutely dry.
All right, then let's turn our attention to the eastern Corn Belt and get your forecast there.
Well, that includes the Ohio Valley. I think the Ohio Valley will be hot and generally dry today. The eastern areas will be dry tomorrow, and then a cool front will come and sag in there and stall out. So Friday night into Saturday, some showers and thunderstorms are likely. They'll push north on Sunday. As we go through next week, there's some disagreement between the medium-range computer models. I think we're going to see scattered showers and thunderstorms from time to time, but the farther south you go in the eastern Corn Belt, the better chance of some net drying going through next week.
So frequency and intensity of rainfall less as you go to east and to the south.
Yeah, to the south, especially in southeast, is probably where there's the least intensity and certainly least frequency. The greatest frequency of rain will be to the northwest.
And temperatures warming, right?
The temperatures are going to be remaining on the warm side. We're already starting to see some temperatures in the lower Midwest getting up into the 90s. And we're going to have 80s and 90s common through the next 10 days or so. On occasion, a little bit cooler to the northwest, but not cold. So growth rates are really going to continue to pick up here. The problem is just some fields are inaccessible and some of the early planted crops are washed out. So the problem is just with the wetness, but the temperatures have reversed their trend from May and before.
Thank you much, Ed.
You're welcome.
AM 580 Chief Meteorologist Ed Kieser, and that's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 Central Time for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the Audio Analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.